I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Now it's time for our Wisdom Watch. That's the part of the program where we speak with those who've made a difference through their work. And for our conversation today...
Sunny day, sleep enough, clouds away.
Yes, we're taking a trip to Sesame Street. Mel Ming is the new president and CEO of Sesame Workshop. That's the nonprofit behind the legendary TV show aimed at the preschool set. But Mel Ming's journey to the happiest street in America took many twists and turns. Born in Bermuda, Ming moved to Philadelphia to attend Temple University. He became a certified public accountant and served as chief financial officer right here at NPR. But of all of his experiences, Mel Ming told us that the one that shaped his life the most was his stint in the Army during the Vietnam era.
During those 2 years, I learned some valuable things. I'll share one with you. I was in Fort Benning, Georgia, and we were being taught how to fall backwards if you're coming in with your parachute. And I did what I was supposed to do, but I looked where I was falling, and I wasn't supposed to. I was supposed to use the feel of my feet. And I twisted my ankle, and I'm laying on the ground, and I'm in agony, and the drill sergeant came over and yelled at me, and he kicked me in my rear, and he said to
me... You mean, wait. He literally kicked you in your butt?
He kicked me in
with his foot, his actual foot on your actual butt.
His shiny boot. And I think I may have dulled it, but he did this, and he yelled at me. He said, "That's what's wrong with you college boys. You think you know everything. If you will do what I tell you, I could save your life." And I looked at him, and it hit me that he knew something I did not know. But because his language skills weren't that great, I had kind of in my own mind discounted his knowledge. But he was right, and I learned, don't dismiss people because of how they look, how they sound, those first impressions. If they know, you be quiet. You follow their guidance. And that has saved me, that has guided me, that has gotten me more support over my life than just about any other thing, respect.
And after your discharge from the Army, you spent a couple years working as an accountant until you got a job at some little company, some little place in D.C. called NPR, where you were the chief financial officer. NPR was nearly bankrupt at the time, wasn't it?
Yes. NPR was the toughest job I ever had, but it was a most rewarding experience. There, leaving the world of public accounting, where you're giving opinions on what others have done, and going to a place that has high expectations and some high accountabilities. During that time, NPR was experiencing some public relations difficulties, some government funding difficulties. The member stations were at odds with NPR. But there, I remember discussions about fees coming in from the Kremlin and the cost of doing it. But I learned there the balance of business and its practices and its disciplines, coupled with the freedoms of the creative within boundaries to deliver great content. And that was an influence that I treasure. And I take a little credit for the great NPR of today. It started 20 years ago.
Okay. Well, you know, I think people know this. I think many people know this. But just in case they don't, I think it's important to remind our listeners that you are replacing NPR's newly hired CEO, Gary Nell, at Sesame Workshop. And you've been named as president and CEO to replace him because now he is coming here. So you kind of did a little bit of a swap, But, you know,
I was there first.
You were there first. That's right. Uh-huh. Duly noted. But, you know, you, as we mentioned, you are a paratrooper in the Army, a CPA, a CFO of a news organization, not exactly warm and fuzzy. So I think a lot of people might wonder then, how do you go and why did you want to go to the ultimate warm and fuzzy Sesame Workshop?
It's a great place because we try to see our work as meeting the needs of children and looking at the world through their eyes. We did a primetime special, which was aired a few weeks ago, about hunger in America. A lot of the work, the segment, was this issue through the eyes of a 7-year-old. And the honesty of that child, the hope of that child, the frustration of that child as to why there's more month than there is meal. So the workshop is a place where people come to work, but they really come to live. It's like an extension of one's life. And my rule is, if it's good enough for my grandchildren, it's probably good enough for any child on the planet.
If you're just joining us, this is Tell Me More from NPR News. We're having a Wisdom Watch conversation with the new CEO of Sesame Workshop, Mel Ming. We are told that you led the company through a lot of complex problems, including launching the South African version of Sesame Street, which is called Takalani Sesame. But what about that? You know, there are certain core values that are obvious with the Sesame Street that we all see here in the U.S., and diversity is one of those. But I think it is fair to say that not every country wants to see these issues the way we do. How do you mediate that, bringing Sesame, the Sesame experience, as you put it, into places that may not share the same view of diversity, ethnicity, difference? I mean, for example, Sesame Street's also very big in teaching people how to accept and love people who may be differently abled, people who use a wheelchair, people who have, you know, lots of other attributes that everyone doesn't have. How do you do that?
Michelle, all that is true, and those are values that we hold dear. What we've found is, as we use our process to determine what the content of a particular show, Takalani or other shows, will be, we engage local experts, child development experts, TV and production experts, and we give them space to come up with the needs of the children in their land or their particular geography. And we only have issues when what we think are wholesome values, honesty, respect, caring for your environment, caring for your neighbor, when their list deviates from ours, we have to try to move people towards more where we would like them to be. But my contribution and our point of view is, we don't see Sesame Workshop as a colonizer. We see Sesame Workshop as a teacher and enabler. And we have to be prepared to let others determine to go a path that's different from ours. Now, I've been at the workshop 12 years, and the workshop's been doing this for 42 years. Rarely, if ever, has there been a desire to teach children things that we do not support. There have been occasions where we feel that the local interest may not go as far as we would like, and we have to be wise and try to figure out how far do we push them to go in a way that we think might be most appropriate. But we also recognize, if we do not connect with children and their caregivers, we cannot teach them. So there's a balancing act. But
is there a place that you would not take Sesame Workshop? Would you say that you just can't, until you get yourselves together, until you get your attitude straight on certain things, you can't be there?
Gary has shared with me his first and early forays of the workshop into South Africa. And we were asked to be there 5 years before we actually began work there. And we did not go earlier because we could not support a broadcast system that valued the separation of the races, and we did not want to be a part of their agenda. And it took 5 years. There was a change, and then Sesame was welcomed as a nation builder. Mm. We've gone to places where teaching girls has not been a high value, and we became part of the changing of that landscape, and we do that. So we start where there is agreement and then try to move it in more broadly. But with always, how can this make the lives of those children better?
Well, speaking of things in which there is not broad agreement, do you have a favorite Muppet?
I used to before I got this job.
Oh, so you're not going to tell now?
They used to call me at times Grover. You know, as an accountant, they are...
Not Oscar.
Well, Oscar, I'm in that too, and the grumpy. And
you've been a little Oscar, the grouch, a little grouchy.
And also the count, because I'm miserly, you know, as an accountant.
Oh, because you like to count, because the count can count.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Michelle, but seeing these experts, these puppeteers, and see how they bring those characters to life, I love them all.
That's very diplomatic. Mm-hmm. So. Well, what's your vision now? Now that I know you're very new in this, in the big chair, but as president and CEO, but what's your vision for your leadership of the company? If you and I were to get together I don't know, let's say 5 years from now, what will you have hoped to have accomplished?
5 years from now, we will discuss the joys of seeing Sesame reach, instead of 10% of the world's children, 50% of the world's children. Then I would like to see Sesame become a valued assist for teachers in preschool or for homeschooling parents who want a curriculum that they have a comfort around in sharing with their children. I want to see Sesame become more of a voice for the stresses that children experience and help educate the wider world about what a child goes through when they're hungry or when they have to deal with separations and movement.
So nothing big at all. Nothing big. Before we let you go, as I mentioned, we call this segment Wisdom Watch, and so we like to ask our guests if they have some wisdom to share. And you can choose any vantage point you want. We didn't touch much on being an African-American CEO, but maybe we can say that for another time. But you have some wisdom to share?
Well, there are a few things that have become guides for me and anchors for me. The first is learn to deal with fear. I have proven that I fear what I don't know. And when I don't know it and I fear it, then I fight it. And the combination of fears that result in fights stifles my own development. So I speak to my own family, speak to young people, speak to aspiring professionals. Don't be afraid to the point where you cannot learn, and use knowledge to help you overcome fears. And then as you overcome them, build on what you know. And with it comes a confidence that you can grow. And as an African-American, as a person of color, the difficulties that I've faced often have resulted because I wasn't known. And I was feared because I was not known. After you got to know me, I wasn't such a bad guy.
H. Melvin Ming is the president and CEO of Sesame Workshop. Previously, he served as Sesame Workshop's chief operating officer. He's succeeding Gary Nell, who is becoming the CEO, who has been named CEO of NPR. And Mel Ming was kind enough to join us from NPR's bureau in New York. Mel Ming, congratulations on the new job, and thank you so much for joining us. Thank you so much for coming back to NPR, where you once worked, to speak to us.
Thank you, Michelle.